You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
It is no secret that the Narendra Modi-led NDA government has been at loggerheads with the Reserve Bank of India since its early days in 2014. In fact, this combative equation came up for discussion in the run-up to the general election. Turns out the common man doesn't care what the RBI thinks of the PMO, but the lack of confidence that the government and the RBI have displayed in each other has seen some quarters express concern. In Modi's second term, that relationship, fraught at the best of times, continues in the same vein. News broke only yesterday that RBI Deputy Governor Viral Acharya quit his position 6 months before the scheduled end of his term to return to New York University's Stern School of Business in August as CV Star Professor of Economics. After Raghuram Rajan and Urjit Patel, Acharya is the third RBI senior to make news with his exit and the second high-profile exit in recent times. Given his image as an independent voice in the RBI, the speculation is that there is more to the story. On this edition of Digging Deeper, we're doing just that. We're taking a look at Acharya's exit and examine the Modi government's relationships with RBI bosses. My name is Rakesh Sharma, and you're listening to Digging Deeper with Money Control.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
A couple of days ago, the Reserve Bank released a statement which read, and I quote, "A few weeks ago, Dr. Acharya submitted a letter to the RBI informing that due to unavoidable personal circumstances, he's unable to continue his term as a deputy governor of the RBI beyond the 23rd of July 2019. Consequential action arising from his letter is under consideration of the competent authority," unquote. Viral Acharya, the RBI's youngest deputy governor, told Money Control he decided to leave 6 months early due to unavoidable personal reasons. He said somewhat cryptically, and I quote, "For now, I am sticking to my school teacher's advice. When your work speaks for itself, do not interrupt," unquote. Independent RBI Director Satish Marathe asked the media not to read too much into the move since Acharya is returning to New York University to teach. He said, and I quote, "The academic season starts now, so he might have opted to go before his term gets over," unquote. That said, Acharya's past vocal stand against the centre at a time when the fractious relationship between the RBI and the government had reached epic proportions means that speculation is rife regarding the reasons behind his resignation. The primary reason for such speculation is Acharya's speech from October last year. On the 26th of October 2018, 3 days after the RBI's board meeting, Viral Acharya spoke at the A.D. Shroff Memorial Lecture about the importance of independent regulatory institutions, a topic he claimed had been suggested by Urjit Patel. In a talk stretching beyond 90 minutes, he emphasized that undermining a central bank's independence is akin to committing a self-goal for any government. He said, and I quote, "Governments that do not respect the central bank's independence will sooner or later incur the wrath of financial markets, ignite economic fire, and come to rue the day they undermined an important regulatory institution," unquote. Those words are now legion. Acharya also claimed that a government's horizon of decision-making is rendered short, like the duration of a T20 match, as there are always upcoming elections of some sort, national, state, midterm, etc. In contrast, a central bank, he says, played a test match, with the bank trying to win each session, but importantly, also trying to survive it so as to have a chance to win the next session. Yes, a bit cringe, those cricket analogies, but you do get his drift, and I do agree with him. Business Today claimed that the speech exposed the rift between the RBI and the government in the preceding months over issues ranging from lending curbs, more cash availability to the NBFCs, right down to who controls the institution's reserves. As you might all recall, the government wanted some of the money from RBI's coffers in the run-up to the election. The government reportedly wanted the RBI to part with almost a third of its reserves, which the central bank said no to. The government had also allegedly backed the RBI board with its own nominees who were vocal about their disagreements with Patel and his deputy governors. Acharya's outspokenness brought matters to a head, marking the peak of the discord between the government and its central bank. The rift also affected markets, prompting the government to issue a statement in support of the central bank's autonomy. If you have to come out and say you are doing the thing that you're expected to be doing, doubts are confirmed that you're not doing the thing that you're expected to be doing. If you come out and issue a statement that actually says, you know what, I have not been consuming excrement, then people are bound to ask you, wait, was he eating excrement? It was sort of like that. Despite that statement from the government, things got quite choppy. And it was widely rumored that Urjit Patel and or Viral Acharya would either resign or face the axe in RBI's November board meeting. But the Apex Bank backed down from its confrontational stance and agreed to discussions on nearly all the issues that the centre had raised. Despite the apparent thaw in the relationship, the pundit's prediction that the government was likely to find another RBI governor more in tune with the finance ministry's thinking, as we all know, eventually came true. Patel abruptly resigned in December, kicking off speculation that his protege Acharya would also. Acharya, at that time, when Urjit Patel quit, stayed put. He didn't move. Then, in a move that has upset and continues to upset many critics of the centre, the government appointed former Economic Affairs Secretary Shaktikant Das as the 25th governor of the RBI. Unsurprisingly, Das has displayed a willingness to consider all issues on the table and employed a rather more consultative approach in order to avoid being seen as confrontational. That has led to reports that Das and Acharya didn't always see eye to eye. Money Control noted that cleaning up the banking system has been one of the main focus areas for Acharya since his early days as the deputy governor. He believed that the RBI's prompt corrective action, that is PCA framework, was an effective tool in this exercise. The chief economist of a private sector bank, on condition of anonymity, told Mint, and I quote, "The MPC, that is the Monetary Policy Committee, has lost a contrarian voice and the voice of the skeptic, which lends the much needed balance to discussions, and this is necessary for sound decision-making." Unquote. Mint also observed that the timing of Acharya's resignation might prove painful because a separate panel under former RBI Governor Bimal Jalan is examining the central bank's capital and the possibility of some of it getting transferred to the government. Only today, Nomura has also come out with its own predictions of how much of this money is going to be allocated to what. Beyond this debate about central bank independence is the realization that Acharya brought a specific skill set to the monetary policy discussions. He had highlighted the implications of policy decisions, or the lack of them, on financial markets in the past many meetings. Media reports indicated that in the latest MPC meeting, which was held in June, Acharya had flagged concerns over a surge in public sector borrowing crowding out the private sector. And he also listed the implications of such a rise in public sector borrowing. Acharya's last day with the RBI will be 23rd of July. In the meantime, he's in charge of the Financial Stability Unit, Monetary Policy Department, Department of Economic and Policy Research, Financial Markets Operation Department, Financial Market Regulation Department, etc., etc., etc. Meanwhile, a Business Standard report has claimed that the senior-most RBI Deputy Governor N. Vishwanathan, who was due to retire next month, is likely to stay back for another term, and that the replacement for Mr. Acharya is likely, Dr. Acharya is likely going to be Michael Patra. Acharya's exit merely highlights what a challenging work environment it has been for the RBI of late. By all accounts, both the Narendra Modi administrations, Modi 1.0 and 2.0, have been more hands-on when it comes to matters concerning the economy. That has led to years of discomfiture that the RBI's independence has been impinged. As we've mentioned before, Acharya is not the first RBI senior official to quit before the expiry of his term. In December 2018, RBI Governor Urjit Patel had resigned 9 months before his term ended. Money Control had noted the rift between the RBI and the government and that it came into full public view in 2014 itself because of the differences over the composition of the Monetary Policy Committee. The government's original draft bill suggested that 4 out of the 7 members of the MPC be appointed by the government. A central bank panel recommended a 5-member panel where 3 would be from the RBI. It was finally agreed that the MPC would have 3 members from the RBI, that is, the governor, deputy governor, and another official, and 3 government-appointed members. That was the panel as it was constituted eventually. The governor has the final vote in case of a tie. Raghuram Rajan, one of the most popular governors the RBI has ever had, was at the helm when Narendra Modi swept to power in 2014. Modi was all praises, extolling Rajan's perfect explanations of complex economic issues in just 3 to 4 slides. Yes, PowerPoint slides, and Modi was happy. Modi expressed satisfaction that there was a lot of similarity between the thinking of the RBI and the government. But that bonhomie, that camaraderie, soured pretty quickly. In 2016, Rajan was at the receiving end of comments from BJP MP Subramanian Swamy over his policies on inflation. Swamy had written to the Prime Minister seeking Rajan's removal from the post. Swamy accused Rajan of an, quote, apparently deliberate attempt to wreck the Indian economy, unquote, and also called him mentally not fully Indian. Exactly the kind of phrasing you would expect from Swamy. Rajan had, of course, talked to the media at some length about political matters, which one could safely speculate did not win him many supporters in the Modi administration. Rajan became the first RBI governor in 2 decades to not be offered a second term. His deputy, the decidedly more discreet and less showy, I suppose, Urjit Patel, took over as the central bank's chief in September 2016. But, perhaps on account of karma being what it is, Patel also proved to be quite the belligerent RBI chief. Soon after he took office, Narendra Modi did the thing that terrifies us to this day when there is an announcement that the Prime Minister will make an unannounced announcement on TV. Remember? Demonetization? Oof. Initially, it was believed that the RBI was in favour of the disruptive move, but reports later claimed that the minutes of an RBI meeting revealed that the central bank had warned of demonetization's short-term effects, saying it would not have a material impact on curbing black money. In August 2018, an RBI report said almost 99.3% of banned notes came back into the system. This is a very famous report that we all know about. Trouble, of course, began again when the government asked for capital from the central bank's excess reserves. The government had even suggested the use of Section 7 of the RBI Act, which would give it more power to instruct the RBI. It was then that Viral Acharya made that rather combative and now famous speech about the central bank's independence. I think the word catastrophic was used. In December of 2018, last year, Urjit Patel resigned as the governor of the Reserve Bank. That resignation came as a surprise, despite the strained relations between the bank and the government. Patel still had 9 months of his term remaining. In a statement that indicated that matters may have deteriorated, the Prime Minister himself commented on Urjit Patel's exit. Modi said, and I quote, "The RBI governor himself requested to resign because of personal reasons. I am revealing for the first time he was telling me about this for 6 to 7 months before his resignation. He even gave it in writing. He wrote to me personally. No question of political pressure arises. I acknowledge that Patel did a good job as an RBI governor." Remember that thing I said about that thing earlier when you have to come out and say something? That means people think you have done that thing? That. The less than effusive praise for the man who oversaw Modi's demonetization gambit is somewhat telling, you will agree. Modi's statement came a day after then-Finance Minister Arun Jaitley told Parliament that the composition of the expert committee to suggest how the central bank should handle its reserves and whether it can transfer its surplus to the government was finalized when Patel was still the RBI governor. Mint claimed that was contrary to the belief that the composition of the high-level committee headed by former RBI Governor Bimal Jalan for examining the economic capital framework was finalized and a compromise to have a vice chairman in former RBI Deputy Governor Rakesh Mohan in the panel was arrived at after Shaktikant Das took charge as the governor on the 12th of December. So what now? In the MPC meeting just earlier this month, Acharya voted for a rate cut but claimed to have done so with some hesitation due to the mixed picture on economic growth. If I think in the past 15 monetary policy reviews, I think he's only voted for a rate cut twice. He was against the ones that happened 2 times in this year alone. The Economic Times has reported that Das and Acharya differed strongly on the state of the fiscal deficit and how to account for it. While the governor said that it was unfair to club the borrowings of state-run enterprises into the state of fiscal deficit, Acharya said that the borrowing requirement of PSUs matter to the overall deficit. All things considered, Acharya's resignation could well be an indication that differences continue to exist between the apex bank and the government in terms of decision-making. He was seen as the last man in the RBI vociferously defending its autonomy. At the very minimum, this episode turns the spotlight on the Modi government's growing HR problem. Too many respected economists have quit abruptly, including former chief economic advisor Arvind Subramanian and, of course, his report, which said the growth that we've been claiming to have was not exactly the case. It was more in the region of 4-something percent. Other economists like Niti Aayog's Arvind Pankaria, Patel, and now Viral Acharya, all respected economists, seem to be wanting to distance themselves from the government. And that is telling.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast. And you have been listening to Money Control.